Armando Riesco from The Happiest Song Played Last, and you're listening to Rabbi Saul Solomon on Dave Gone By on UNC Radio.
Oh, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon from my beautiful temple, Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and I am so excited to be talking to a New York actor-type person. He's just on the cusp of breaking big, very probably, because at the moment, he's in two different things. He's in a show, a major off-Broadway show called The Happiest Song Plays Last at the Second Stage Theater. It's the third part of a Pulitzer-winning trilogy of all things. And also our guest, Armando Riesco, is in a movie called Adult World. Ooh, sounds naughty. With John Cusack and Emma Roberts. This man has also already worked, even though it's early in his career. He's worked with Oliver Stone. He worked with Zach Braff in the movie Garden State. He's worked with the Farrelly brothers, those funny guys who make the movies. So it is very exciting to talk with someone who is not even from this country. He came over from Puerto Rico when he was young. So, although as a small, little, scared Jew, I'm usually terrified of Puerto Ricans, I am thrilled to have in the neighborhood with us Armando Riesco. Shalom, Armando.
Shalom. We're just as scared of you guys as you are of us.
As well you should be. If you've ever gotten close to my body odor, you would know that's something to be scared of. But congratulations, first of all, on all this activity in your career. You've been an actor for a little over a decade. Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
Because you, yeah, I think in
graduated in 1999 from Northwestern, and been doing it ever since.
And was your first big break the 2002 play Four at Manhattan Theater Club? Was that when you felt you started to arrive?
Well, if there ever is such a thing as an arrival, I guess that was probably it. I mean, that got me an agent, and sort of opened a few doors for me. So.
Well, that would help, yes. So let me, in fact, let me roll it back a little. At Northwestern, you studied acting. What were some of the roles you played at that university?
I did some terrible student productions of really adult plays. You know, college is the only place where you can play, you know, Arcadia and do Waiting for Godot when you're 18 years old and get away with it.
Now, wait a minute. You did not play, or did you play Madame Arcadina in, what was that, character?
I worked on it on acting class, that's for sure.
Okay.
We were highly encouraged to try anything and everything.
Now, actually, I make fun of saying that you were playing Madame Arcadina, but in this movie that you're in, it's called Adult World, you are playing, for the most part, a woman or a womanly man person. Tell us about this part.
Yeah, I play a pre-op transgender person called Rubia, who's sort of a mentor to Emma Roberts' character.
Okay. Emma Roberts being the daughter of Julia Roberts, by the way. People didn't know this. Yes?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Julia Roberts' niece.
Niece.
She has like 2 million Twitter followers, so she's definitely somebody.
Whoa. My good. I have 2.5 Twitter followers, and I'm trying to lose that half.
Me too. I've got my brother and my aunt.
Oh. It's good. Family's important. Now, wait. Now, let's even roll it back a little more. Are your brother and your aunt in this country, or are they still over in Puerto Rico?
Well, my family's Cuban, actually.
Oh, Cuban. I'm sorry. Yes.
So, my family's kind of all over the place. My brother is actually in the States, and my aunts are kind of spread out. One's in Miami, one's in Puerto Rico, but they've lived in Brazil and Mexico, so... You know,
please, you're talking to someone who knows a lot about the diaspora. I understand. So, I should clarify, you're right. You were born in Puerto Rico. Your parents were Cuban immigrants. That's...
Right.
Yeah. So, what brought you from... Well, first of all, what brought them from Cuba to Puerto Rico and you from Puerto Rico to America?
Well, I mean, they left Cuba for the reason that many Cubans left Cuba, and they weren't down with communism.
Okay.
So they were basically run out. Well, my dad's family certainly was run out, and my mom's family left, and so my parents met in the States. They ended up in Puerto Rico because my father was an engineering professor at the University of Puerto Rico. That was his first job after he...
Oh.
He finished his degree.
They lived there, but then you... How young or old were you when you left and came here?
I graduated high school in Puerto Rico. I came to the States when I was 17 for college.
Wow. So what was it like growing up? I've never been to Puerto Rico. I've been to the Bahamas once, and that was a horrible vacation, but we won't go there. So what was different? What was it for an American who's never been there? What is Puerto Rico like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, Puerto Rico is
what?
A lot like anywhere else. It's just a place, you know. I mean, yeah, it's sunny and there's beaches, and I think the tricky thing is when people exoticize it. But when you grow up there, and I had this is true of growing up in Hawaii or anywhere else, it's that yeah, it's beautiful and there's mountains and there's sun and there's beaches, but it's just it's a place with schools and parents with rules and.
Does everybody speak Spanish, or is it English or Spanish there, or both, or what?
Spanish. No, Spanish.
Spanish, okay.
Sure. I learned English. I mean, we took English class, but everything else was in Spanish. All the books were in Spanish.
When they did West Side Story at Northwestern, were they always turning to you during the Puerto Rico song and then going, oh, are we doing this right? Maybe not.
Well, funny you say that, because the first when I first got to the dorm, there's a guy across the room from Massachusetts that looked at me and was like, where are you from? I said, Puerto Rico. And he was like, where the hurricanes are blowing. He started speaking, which I did not, I'd never heard of it, that musical.
Oh!
I was like, what are you talking about?
And then you punched him, and then he started explaining. Okay.
Yeah, and then I took out my knife and cut him. and you know, in all honesty, I look like more of a jet than I do a shark. Anyway, I mean, I've got white skin, red hair, so...
I don't see that on the picture. You don't have red hair, do you? For real? Do you dye it?
I have absolutely red hair, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and I'm not dyed at all. You know, Rabbi, I'm my family was Jewish at some point.
Oh, wait!
Believe it or not, they were Sephardic Jews that came over from Spain.
All of them on both sides?
No, my dad's side.
On your dad's, so you're half Jewish on that side. Well, what were you raised as?
I was raised completely Catholic.
Ah, damn it.
I was in Puerto Rico, yeah.
Oh, well. Well, you can always go back. Sometimes
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, well, what can you do? We can't all be perfect.
Did you get a head start? Are you circumcised at least?
I am, thank God.
Thank you, God. Thank you. All right, there's hope. There's possibilities for redemption in what we're doing. But how did you find out that part of your family was Jewish? Or was just, it was an open thing? It wasn't anything?
Well, no. The last name, basically, you can see it in the name.
Riesco.
That it was a name, yeah, it was a name that was changed.
From what? Rieskowitz?
Probably. You know, it's, when they said either change or leave.
Oh.
Changed.
So do you know what it was before?
I actually don't know, no.
Oh.
I haven't done that much research into it. But.
And your first name is Armando. Did they take the A from a dead relative? Or how did you get your name?
Armando, well, I'm Armando III.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, so my dad and my grandfather were Armandos, but I don't know where the original idea came from.
So do you ever do that? Do you ever feel real hoity-toity and put the Roman numeral 3 after your name?
No, because it ended up being a total pain. You know, just the fact that, in Latin America, a lot of people have two names, right? They've Armando Jose Riesco, Armando something Riesco. And I don't have a second name, but I have the third. I have Armando Riesco III.
See?
So on my IDs from down there, when I came here to switch my IDs to get my social security card, to, you know, a passport, whatever, you know, it's always a big problem because they're like, well, you're not Armando Riesco.
Oh.
Riesco III.
I gotcha.
Oh, and it's like, no, I'm...
Actually, technically, since you're from that other country, you should be Armando Riesco El Tres. That's what they should call you.
El Tercero, yes.
Tercero. Oh, right. My Spanish is not... I know about 4 words and 3 of them I can't say on the radio. Tercero is now my 5th word. Thank you. Thank you. You're teaching me words here. This is exciting. I'm talking with Armando Riesco. He's off-Broadway in the show The Happiest Song Plays Last at the Second Stage Theater. He's also in the film that we mentioned, Adult World. Now, I do want to ask, and then this is the only kind of touchy subject, besides your circumcision, which you dealt with very, very nicely, I think. But in this movie that you're playing, you are playing, as you say, a pre-op transsexual, a kind of a drag queen sort of person, which a couple of the reviews say, one says you nicely underplay the role. You got a review. I don't know if you read them. Do you read the reviews?
I read some reviews, not all the time, but sometimes.
Well, you would have liked to have read this one. Armando Riesco does a terrific turn here as store patron and drag queen Rubia with a performance that balances both the humor and humanity of the character expertly. That happens to be from Paste Magazine, so a lovely review there. However, there are other reviews for this movie that point not so much to you, but the character you're playing as a cringe-inducing use of a minority character.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's one of those that they put in there to educate the white people who are, quote-unquote, the stars of the show. Did you feel any of that in doing the role or trying to avoid any of that? Do you sometimes feel with your name, with your background?
And to be honest, it sounds to me like whoever wrote that review is probably really touchy. I mean, everyone's obviously entitled to their own opinion, but I feel like, you know, they might be a little, they have a lot of guilt or something, and
who doesn't?
I feel like that's what they're, because the character's not meant to be that at all, you know?
Well, in auditioning for, I'm sure you do for TV and movies, you have an agent now, do you run into the thing of that when you're first starting out and you're black or Hispanic, all you go up for is drug dealers and pimps and criminals and et cetera, and background people? I mean, are there roles that you've turned down or have been confronted with there where you're like, oh, come on?
Well, you know, yes and no. It's a tricky subject, obviously, and obviously you're aware of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have brought it up like you did. But, you know, I have played, certainly, you know, in Blue Bloods, I just played a Dominican guy who takes over a courtroom with a gun, and he's waving a gun around, and he's angry as hell, you know.
I auditioned for that role. I did not get it. So there you go.
You didn't get it, though.
No, I did not.
I thought I saw you in the room.
They cast me as a corpse in the show. That's all I got.
But at any rate, but, you know, then again, I've also played neurosurgeons, and it's a balancing act, but I think things have gotten much, much better, and it doesn't help to really just focus on it and be stewing in anger about it every day. I certainly don't do that. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I stew with anger most of my days. That's what keeps me going. Oh, I live for anger and rage. But at the same time, have you ever done a role that you didn't feel good about?
Gosh, offhand, I can't remember really any role that... I mean, to me, the roles that I'm not angry with, but the boring roles to me are something to be angry about. You know, when you feel like you're doing nothing with yourself and you're just out there exposing information or just doing something that you go, God, anyone could do this. That to me is...
That's very interesting.
You know?
Yeah, no, yeah.
But if it, you know, this Dominican guy has blue blood, man, that was an interesting character. And that kind of stuff happens, you know? People have taken over courtrooms with guns, and it was fun to do, you know? So,
And let me ask you something.
I let other people critique that, you know?
Speaking of blue bloods, all I have ever heard from anybody, time and time again, is what a nice, great, wonderful guy Tom Selleck is. Are you going to add to that chorus?
I didn't meet him. I worked with Donnie Wahlberg and Bridget Moynihan the whole time, so I didn't even see the mustache.
Oh well. I was hoping for another encomium for the fine Mr. Selleck. But how is Bridget Moynihan? She's kind of cute.
She's a little bit cute. She's lovely. She's lovely, and then the other guy, the new kid on the block, is quite the character, man. He's a riot to work around. He kept the set really light and loose, and he was hilarious.
That's good, because sometimes, you know, when you're stepping in and you're not a regular main character on the show, it's a very weird situation, because everybody's got their tight little family, and you're trying to blend in for a week, and then you're out.
Sometimes you walk into those sets, and you feel the tension right away, you know, and it's awkward as hell, and no one... know, the actors don't talk to each other, that kind of thing. Blue Bloods was one of the nicest experiences I've had on as a guest star, you know, because you would think that on something that's a procedural that's been on for so long that people would want to just kill each other at this point. And it was the complete opposite.
That's wonderful. So what's an example of a show that you were on where you could cut the tension with a bris knife?
Let's see. I can't remember offhand.
Oh yes, you can.
I can't remember.
Tell you what, can you tell it without naming? Without naming names, can you sort of clue us in to like an experience where it was just like, oh boy.
Sure. Yeah, I remember being on a show once where I walked in to the first day and the lead of the show gathered everybody right before we shot the first scene and just gave a speech about how he was the star and how he shouldn't be taking direction from people that you know hadn't been around, and that the network supported him in every choice he made, no matter how strange it seemed to other people, and that.
Ooh.
And so he basically was putting the director in his place before we start shooting the episode, which was very awkward.
That's awful.
You know, that kind of stuff happens.
Was that a comedy or a drama?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, I mean, is the show still on the air, though?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you really don't know? Well, you certainly wouldn't watch it. Did you watch your own episode?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, but no, that's another question. Do you watch yourself when you're on TV or in a movie after it's all over? Can you watch yourself? Do you cringe? Are you happy to be there?
Yeah, I cringe like that reviewer, but for different reasons. I just I generally have it's strange to watch yourself in something, and the first time especially is always like, wow, that's bad. I think the second time around you can sort of see it with clearer eyes and go, okay, yeah, it's fine.
But also, like, by the time a movie comes out, you're already an older person. You're a different actor. You're a different person. It was probably shot 6 months to a year and a half ago, and you're doing different things. And you look back, it's like, oh, I would have done it so differently, you know? I look back at my mornings like that every day, and I just feel like, should have just gotten up completely differently. We're talking with Armando Riesco, who is in the off-Broadway play, The Happiest Song Plays Last. This is the third in a trilogy by Chiara Alegria Hudes. Am I pronouncing that right by any chance?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, that's a first.
Who, by the way, is half Puerto Rican, half Jewish.
All right. Yay. So's the guy who wrote The Whipping Man, I think. He's partially Jewish. I don't know why I brought that. Right. Lopez guy, Matthew Lopez. Anywho, Happiest Song Plays Last. Now, you were in all three of these plays in the trilogy. So please tell us about them, and specifically your character.
Well, the trilogy is based on the writer's cousin, who's a real guy, and he went to the Iraq War in the very first wave in the attack on Baghdad in 2003, I believe it was. He's quite the character and quite the guy. He went there. He was injured pretty badly, and he came back and had some problems readjusting to society and had to deal with several issues. And then eventually he went to L.A. to try his hand out at Hollywood, and he got hired as a military advisor on a big movie that shot back in the Middle East. He went back and he did that job, and not only did he do that job, but he also ended up being the lead of the movie because the main actor got fired two weeks into filming.
Okay.
And they just threw him in there as the lead of the movie. That part of the story is what this last play is about, or at least on my side of the stage. There's basically two intertwining stories between my character and my cousin's character. But yeah, that's what my side of the story is about. It's about a Marine who is in the Middle East. He's back in the Middle East, and he's doing a movie, and he's falling in love with this girl, and it's very funny, and it's very sweet, and very sad at the same time, you know?
Oh, very good. I mean, when you did the first play, which was
A Soldier's Fugue.
Soldier's Fugue came first, then Water by the Spoonful, and I think that was the one that won the Pulitzer, right? Something like
that. The first one was nominated for a Pulitzer, and the second one won the Pulitzer.
Good Lord. So, but when you did the first one, did you have any idea that you would be connected to, that she was writing a trilogy and that you would be part of it if it went well?
No, not at all. In fact, that was never the idea. I think she wrote the first one, and then she went off and did In the Heights.
You know, right, with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who, is he partly Jewish, I hope? Or not?
I don't know. I think he might be full Puerto Rican.
Damn it. The best ones get away.
They did that, and she obviously had a great time doing that, and she was, I don't know if she won the Tony or she was nominated for a Tony or what, but...
Well, the musical won the Tony for Best Musical.
Yeah.
In the Heights did. But then she came back and she said she just felt like picking up these characters and bringing them further?
Exactly. So this was a couple of years after the whole thing was done, or the first one was done, that she came back to it.
Very nice. Now, let me ask you about some of the other folks that you have worked with, especially in movies. You were in the film about 9/11 that Oliver Stone shot. What was it now? He seems like a character. What was it like working with Oliver Stone?
He is a character. He's very intense. He knows exactly what he wants. And he doesn't take lunch. Remember, that was a pretty interesting...
It looks like he does. He's not exactly Karen Carpenter. Okay.
Yeah, but, he knew what he wanted right away. And he created, the set was... It was a nice set, actually. We had a lot of fun doing it, despite the subject matter. We got to bond quite a bit, and we shot the whole thing in order. So.
Oh my! Now, how did that? As an actor, did you really, really appreciate that, or it doesn't make that much of a difference?
Oh no, I think it makes a huge difference. I think that's the only time I've ever gotten to do anything like that. In fact, when I did Che with Soderbergh, we shot the whole thing backwards because they wanted us to have the beard and the hair and then slowly start cutting it down and shaving it down slowly. So we went from the very, very end of the movie. So I got there the first day and it was like, all right, so Armando, you've been shot through the shoulder, you've had a fever for 9 days, and you've been drinking horse soup. I was like, what? I can't act this, dude. And something nice to be shooting something in order like that.
Well, actually, in some way, at least in that one, it's still in a kind of an order, so you're following a path. But most films are shot completely out of sequence and randomly.
Out of sequence, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's going to be even harder.
That's one of the things I'm still figuring out, but certainly all the greats know how to handle that beautifully. I wouldn't know...
What?
But what exactly they do, I'm still figuring that out.
Now, how was Soderbergh? What was he like?
He was great. He was he's very, very, very different from Oliver Stone. He's a very quiet, sort of reserved guy. He knows what he wants, but he doesn't impose anything on anybody. He's more of like a voyeur, it seemed to me, at least in that movie that we shot. He just kind of went off to the corner and he was like, what are you guys doing? And then he would just, you would have to figure out what you were doing, and then he would shoot it.
Huh.
We'd work, he's also a workaholic, we'd work like maybe 14-hour days, and then he would go edit for another 5 hours and then sleep for a little bit and then start do it all over again 6 days a week.
Wow.
So he's a phenom,
And this was a movie, called Che?
Yeah, it's Benicio del Toro playing Che Guevara. It was at Cannes. Benicio won the Best Actor at Cannes for it, and it obviously was not a big commercial success, otherwise you would have heard of it. But it was it's a really interesting two-part movie. It's kind of a huge thing. It's,
cool. Che, with you, and you were, what was the name of your character so we can look for you?
My character's name is Benigno, and I'm basically in the second movie, especially more towards the end, because I'm one of, like, the three people that don't get killed.
Wait, don't get killed? I thought you were shot in the shoulder and you had to drink horse poop or something.
Yeah, but I made it through.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, good. Oh, good, you get to live. So you're at that stage in your career where they don't kill the Puerto Rican yet. They let you live. This is good. You're not like the black sidekick.
He keep in mind, that was a lot of Puerto Ricans and a lot of Cubans. So, you know, it's not like there was a choice.
Okay.
Someone had to live, and it was going to be a Cuban or a Puerto Rican.
But now, also other folks that you have worked with. You worked with on a film called Fever Pitch by the Farrelly Brothers, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you see them in action?
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I'd love to work on more comedies, you know. I worked with this guy, man, I see him in my soup every day. Jimmy Fallon is everywhere right now. He was a great guy to work with. He was super, super nice. And Drew Barrymore was also phenomenally friendly. And she would take us out to dinner, and she'd take the crew out to dinner. And that barely ever happens.
That is really nice to hear.
Yeah, it was a real treat to work with them.
I mean, you get the feeling that Jimmy Fallon is actually an honestly nice guy. I mean, the smiling all the time throws me. The man cannot be Jewish because he's just so damn happy all the time. It's just, I cannot fathom that sort of personality. But he really seems like a sweetie. So good for him. And you said he was great to work with. But what were the Farrellys like when they were directing?
They were great. It seemed like one of them took the lead. I can't remember which one it was. But one of them was a little more quiet, and he was just, maybe he was the great puppeteer behind everything. But there was one guy who would come and give all the notes and sort of stage everything. And the other guy was back in Video Village, just making sure that everything was right on the screen.
Okay.
But they were great.
Now we're talking about...
I thought it was a really good movie.
The directors that Armando Riesco has worked with. Here are some of the actors that you have dealt with. John, speaking of theater, too, John Cullum. He was in a movie you were in. What was it like working with a legend like John Cullum? What?
He's amazing. Amazing. You know, in the editing process of this movie, I think, unfortunately, he got a little chopped down, which is too bad because I saw a lot of the scenes that he did, and he was just hilarious. Him and Cloris Leachman, by the way.
Right, I was going to say, Cloris Leachman, they're both in Adult World, by the way. That's the movie we're talking about. Yeah.
So they had a bunch of scenes, and I guess, you know, probably for length or something, unfortunately, they got chopped down a little bit. I did as well. But they were phenomenal. I love working with older actors, like older veteran actors. That's the best, you know. I always talk about watching. I did National Treasure with John Voight.
John Voight! He would always go to the Jewish telethons. Did you ever watch him on the old Chabad telethons every year? Probably not.
I did not.
He would dance with the rabbis. John Voight, we love you, John Voight. Like, how was he on the movie? Was he very nice?
He was unbelievable. Well, not only was he nice, but he was, to me, like, I learned a lot just from watching him for a couple of days, because he'd be in character. He would start a scene like 30 seconds before they called action, and he'd just be mumbling to himself and walking around and doing all kinds of things. So they wouldn't even call action. They would just kind of start shooting eventually when he was already there and doing what he needed to do. But he would just very organically kind of thrust himself into the scenes, which was, I don't know, I've never seen anyone else do that.
Wow.
Like that.
The organically thrusting John Voight. God bless him. And also, now, someone else on that movie, this movie that we're talking about, was National Treasure, Nicolas Cage. Was he nuts?
Yeah.
Was he crazy? Was he fine?
Well,
should he have been in a cage?
No, I actually think he's the poor guy, he's not nuts at all. I think he's absolutely... He's actually really nice. I've got to work with him several times. I worked with him three times because I did both National Treasures, and then I did World Trade Center with him.
Oh!
And so I've gotten to know. I got to know him a little bit. You know, I mean, it's hard to get to know these big movie stars because they always have a sort of shield around them. You know, which is completely understandable because it seems like people are always out to get something from them.
Fair enough.
In that sense, maybe you might argue that, oh, well, he's a little nuts. Well, no, I don't think he's a little nuts. I think he just has to deal with a lot of things that we don't have to deal with.
Okay.
But he was genuinely a very nice guy, and I think he's a fantastic actor. You know, I thought he did a great job on World Trade Center. National Treasures, maybe not, but who
fun movie. All right.
Yeah, it's just silly. You know, it's for 12-year-olds, so...
I have to ask our guest, Armando Riesco, about, one of the goddesses, the golden, gorgeous, and incredibly Jewish, Natalie Portman, with whom you were in...
I've got nothing bad to say about Natalie Portman.
I don't want you to say anything bad about Natalie Portman. I want you to tell me how wonderful and beautiful she is. And Jewish.
She's super, super sweet. Right up there with Drew Barrymore. You know, she hung out with everybody. She, you know, she didn't sneak off into her diva corner and sulk or...
I do that after my sermons. So the fact that she doesn't even do that, I think that's wonderful. See, I'm glad to hear nice things about nice people, whether they're Jewish or not. Although, especially if they are Jewish. Now, last question for the delightful Armando Riesco, who I will remind you is in the film Adult World. Is that out yet in theaters? Is it on video yet? Where's that?
Yeah, it's an IFC, but the easiest thing to do is to get it on Amazon or iTunes. You know, now things come out on VOD the same day that they do it at theaters, or at least, you know, smaller productions do. And so this one you can get on your computer right now for much less than it would take you to go to the movie theater.
Thank you for killing cinema. Just kidding. But also, you're something that you cannot get on VOD or whatever, and you can't get on Netflix or Amazon or iTunes, is live theater. So you have to go to the second stage in Midtown Manhattan to see The Happiest Song Plays Last. It's playing through March 23rd at the second stage with Armando Riesco in this play. But let me also ask, what's on the burner now? What's next for you? What are you auditioning for, etc.?
I'm just auditioning, Rabbi. I'm just another actor ultimately, and I'm going through some of the hoops of pilot season right now. And frankly, I'm also just getting prepared. My wife and I are expecting a baby girl in June.
Mit Mazel! Are you going to raise her Jewish? No, you're not. No. She has a little big in her. It's just a recommendation. Just saying. Something to put in the back of your mind. Oh, but when is she due?
She's due in June.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes.
So that's the next big production that we're currently waiting on.
What does your wife do?
My wife's an actor as well.
Really? Who is your wife?
Yeah, her name is Shirley Rumierk.
Shirley Rumierk.
Yeah, you're going to have to jump on Google. But she's done a bunch of TV pilots and that kind of thing as well.
So wait a minute, how do you deal with that? Let me ask, this is an important question, because you're talking about pilot season. She's doing pilot season, but you're in a play in New York for a couple of weeks. How do you deal with being bi-coastal, you should pardon the expression?
If the jobs come, you deal with it, you know? You figure out a way to deal with it. Now, will the baby probably complicate things a little bit? I'm absolutely sure they will. I have no idea how that's going to work out, but I do have plenty of friends that have gone through it or are going through it, and it seems to be working out just fine. So I think, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time, we should be okay.
But it's not, while you're doing this play, you can't be bouncing back and forth to Los Angeles unless you do
it. A lot of these things nowadays happen just off tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that they'll see your tape and then they'll bring you in if they really are interested. What a sea change in the way things are done. So people don't even have to be in Los Angeles all year round anymore, technically.
Right.
Wow. Well, I certainly wish you, more than anything else, mazel and health with your upcoming... do you have a name picked out?
Not yet. We're still working on that.
Could she be Armanda? Might that happen? Armanda the First. El Primero. La Primera, sorry. I get my genders mixed up. As does Armando Riesco in the movie Adult World, which you have to rent. Thank you. I knew I could segue into that. And also, of course, he's in The Happiest Song Plays Last off-Broadway. Mr. Riesco, Señor Riesco, it has been a delight and a joy having you in the neighborhood. Thank you so much, and best of luck in everything.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Shalom to you.